Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Wayne, Nebraska, and earned a degree from the University of Northern Colorado, majoring in physical education and minoring in English. He has coached men's collegiate basketball for 38 seasons and is the winningest collegiate basketball coach in history with 923 wins. He lost his left leg in a car crash in 2008 and is a liver and intestine cancer survivor. His name, Coach Don Meyer. And I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with the winningest men's collegiate basketball coach in history with 923 wins, the legendary Coach Don Meyer. Coach, welcome. What an honor.
Thank you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, we worked a lot on the farm. I was the oldest kid. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just did what I was told. Tried to do it as quick as I could. My dad was in the Marines at age 16, graduated from high school, went to the Marines. Didn't make the Battle of Iwo Jima because he had Malta fever. I was born while he was overseas, and we farmed about 400 acres, and it was pretty crude. We had the big baling wire pile where we'd repair everything with baling wire and keep it holding together. And so I learned a lot about hard work. I remember when I went off to college, I went out to the barn. Dad was milking cows. I was going to go on a 500-mile ride to college, and said, "I'm leaving now." And he said, "Well, work hard and stay out of trouble." And that was pretty much the extent of it. There were no hugs or anything. He was too busy milking cows. So it's really a lot of hard work. And my folks always tried to let us have a chance to play baseball. And then when I got in high school, they tried to make sure we were able to get to everything else we had to do. So athletics was really an outlet from the work on the farm.
Talk about your sporting career in school, if you would.
Basketball. We always had good basketball teams, and but we never went to state tournament. My senior year, we played a game, playoff game to go, and I had to play 32 minutes, and I just decided I was going to take it easy one trip down the floor, and a guy made a layup, and I've never forgotten that for the rest of my life. It doesn't take more than one possession to get yourself in serious trouble in any athletic in Denver. We had baseball one year of high school baseball, and we ended up playing in Rosenblatt Stadium a couple games and being a really small town. I mean, everybody had a different uniform, looked like the Bad News Bears. And we beat, I think it was Omaha Tech, and then we lost to Boys Town in the semifinals, and they won. They eventually played in the finals. I think they lost to a real good team on Omaha. It's some good players, very good players. But, we didn't have a great deal of competition. You know, it was a small town area, small farm towns, and probably didn't really know what it was going to be like at the next level.
How did you get into coaching basketball?
Well, I wanted to play professional baseball. I was 22-2 in college, lost to Arizona State and Air Force Academy, and didn't get drafted, so it was obvious I didn't throw hard enough. I could win, but I couldn't throw hard enough. And I coached probably 5 years of college baseball, in addition to coaching basketball. And the thing about baseball is all the jobs are filled before they're open. And my college head coach got me a position as a graduate assistant, got me an interview, and I was lucky to get a position at the University of Utah 1 year under Jack Gardner, who was the third winningest coach at that time, and then 1 year under Bill Foster, who was a truly great coach, took Duke to the Final Four. And lost to Kentucky when Goose Given sort of went off for 41 points.
What makes a great coach?
Well, I think it's different for everybody. But I think to be good every year, I think you have to be sound in how you teach the fundamentals, solid in the way you play the game, your style of play has to fit your team so you don't beat yourself and you're tough to play against. And then I think number three, you got to be simple. And that involves a lot of things, that simplicity. I mean, the more they think, the slower their feet get. I think simple in the fact that they can enjoy playing the game like a young child, you know, rather than thinking it's a burden or a drudgery to play. I think Derek Jeter exemplifies all three of those, and particularly in the simple part, he's like a little kid out in the field. He just loves every pitch, every play, everything that's going on.
You talk a lot about bringing it every day and bringing it every play. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Well, I just think, you know, every morning you wake up, what I do is I read, and I'll, you know, pour out my cup, fill up my cup, and then pour that cup out all day long. And that's the idea of being a servant leader and serving other people. And whether you've got spiritual inclination or not, and I read a lot of spiritual stuff in the morning, but you need to read. You need to fill your cup up, and then you need to go out and pour it out all day long, serving other people.
When we were kids, Coach Don Meyer, we just went outside and we played. And we threw a ball against the wall, or we shot baskets, or went out to the pond and played hockey. These kids today, that's so uncommon. If there is some kid that wants to do that, what advice do you give him?
Well, they'll probably think he's crazy because he's out there throwing a rubber ball against a wall, but that's what Ozzie Smith did to become great. We call that our Ozzie Smith drill, and we use tennis balls and do that in camp or work with kids, but it's so much more organized today and so many more people making money off these kids with AAU and summer teams and all that stuff that kids just getting together and playing, you don't see that anymore. And it's much more commercialized, I guess the only word you can use for it. There's a lot of people making a lot of money off a lot of kids, and they don't learn how to play. They just play, and they don't practice much. Therefore, their skill level sort of eroded, and it becomes a matter of they play so many games that playing the game right and winning isn't important to them. They just want to be seen. They want exposure. Back in my day, if you wanted exposure, you took your clothes off and ran around town naked. Today, you just go on traveling teams and play.
We're talking to Coach Don Meyer, who was awarded the Jimmy V Perseverance Award at the ESPN ESPYs in 2009. And I'm Jack Crisul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Coach Don Meyer, who's just retired after coaching 38 seasons of collegiate basketball. And oh, by the way, in those 38 years, only one player did not graduate. Coach, we've recently lost arguably the greatest coach in any sport of all time, John Wooden. You met him, you were with him. What made him so special?
Well, he epitomized James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you. Let him show it by his life, by the deeds done, and the humility that comes from wisdom. And I think he was about as humble as anybody could be. I mean, win 10 national championships, get the award from Bush, the highest award any person can get from a president, other than being in the military, and it's hanging on his coat rack in his house. So awards didn't mean a lot to him. He just tried to do what he thought was the Lord's will, and he tried to serve other people, and he was a servant all the way to the very end.
Speaking of that, he once said, "You can't live a perfect day without doing something for someone who will never be able to repay you."
Well, it's a perfect day because a lot of times when we do things, I know when I do things, I always leave little hints so people can pay me back or give me a compliment, you know, like a little piece of paper there with my phone number or email. That's probably not the right attitude when you help people. You need to help people because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for the Lord. And sure, you're doing it for them, but you're doing it because it's what the Lord wants you to do, and you give him the credit. And I think that's the best way to do it. Serving other people helps you a whole lot more than it helps them.
You recently were awarded the 2010 John Wooden Keys to Life Award. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means that we've got a trophy in my office that's so heavy that none of us can lift it, so I don't know where we're going to put it. That's the first thing. The second thing is that any award you can get that's got John Wooden's name on it means something. I know the last correspondence I had with Coach, I just wrote that nothing's probably meant more to me in coaching than to receive an award with your name on it, because, you know, you are just, you embody everything that every one of us, a coach, wants to be as far as the respect that he has, not just for winning, but for the kind of guy he is.
Can you talk to us, Coach Don Meyer, about the blessing of being a coach?
Well, I don't know. Having retired, I'd say the blessing is not coaching. Life's a lot simpler when you're not thinking about 20 people nonstop, 24 hours a day, your whole life. The way I coached, you know, I wasn't very smart, so I had to really be involved. I gave up an awful lot of my life for those kids, and I think I hurt our family in certain ways. I hurt a lot of other things, but the thing about the blessing of being a coach is I think you learn how to serve. You learn how to be a team member more than anything else. And I was very fortunate to be around for the greatest majority of the time around kids that really wanted to be a real team and play together. And I think that's why they were so successful, is that they embodied everything that a team should be. And it's evident by how they feel about each other now, this many years out, how close they are. It's sort of like Halberstam's book, the Teammates, about the Boston Red Sox, and how those guys were caring about each other right down to the very end.
Can we go back to September 5th, 2008?
Well, we can, I guess, if you want to, but I don't know if we can. But I was driving on a team retreat, leading five cars, 55 miles an hour, looking for the turnoff to go to this wonderful hunting lodge. It's called Big Shot, run by the Kessler family, Tim and Amy Kessler, and they always let our team go out there and use it. We'd stay for a night, and then in the morning we'd go over things and talk about what it took to be a team. But next thing I remember looking for the turnoff is a big white cloud in front of me, and that was the bag going off. And then it was a matter of amazing things that happened. A doctor on another highway was diverted because of a road project, so he was there to keep me alive, basically. Players were taking care of me, and I don't remember a whole lot about it. I mean, I remember talking to them while I was in the car, and I remember, I don't even remember getting cut out of the car. They have these big jaws that they call it the jaws of life that cut the car and get you out. And then I got flown by helicopter. I had five surgeries. They found out I had cancer. I didn't find out until a week later I had cancer, and then we had to make a statement about that, you know, to try and help people that had it or help people deal with it or take the right approach for everybody concerned. Spent about close to 2 months in the hospital recovering and rehabbing. Probably left too early, but probably didn't leave too early far psychologically, because I really needed to have a team and keep my mind off the pain. And then it was just a struggle. It was just a fight all year long, getting to games in a wheelchair, getting out of the bus. We went to Minnesota for an exhibition game. Then we went to Purdue. You know, in our travel out here, it's the weather's not great, probably a lot like your area. There's a lot of snow.
What was What was the biggest things you learned in those 55 days in that hospital?
In the hospital, I think I learned that I became a lot more spiritual, I think. We had stuff up in the walls, verses I thought about. My first bandage change after the amputation lasted 2 hours, and I've never been in such pain. I mean, it makes me think waterboarding's a joke. Could be just what you needed to do if you wanted to get somebody to spill the beans, because I was singing spiritual songs that I don't even have any real recollection I ever memorized the whole time. I thought I broke one of the doctor's wrists, and they had me drugged up, but not enough, I guess. I guess it couldn't get any higher, and I've never been again. And then there was always pain with the bandage changes, but it got of a lesser nature, but it still was really painful. I would dread those. They put headphones on me and play Alan Jackson spiritual songs. And you learn a lot about what's really important in life when you're laying on your back just looking up at the ceiling all the time. And I had my wife there all the time, and she would sleep at nights, and then former players would come and sit with me, or coaches. I never spent a night alone, but my wife never had to be with me. It was either our children or former coach, former player, you know, people like that. But I really had some great friends. I had one coach, my friend Ron Blasine, who's winningest coach in the history of Colorado basketball. He spent like a whole week with me, you know. So I got to really know a lot of guys, and we didn't talk much basketball, you know, not much.
You were released from the hospital on October 30th, 2008, after 55 days. The next morning at 4:45 in the morning, you were in your office working on the season ahead. Why, Coach Don Meyer?
Well, that's what I do. I mean, that's what I did then. And it was important. I felt I needed a team, and I felt they needed me, so I had to get back. You know, and then we practiced early in the morning. We just think it's better for the kids to have all the rest of the day to be a student. They're not going to mess around at night. We don't have to worry about gym time. It's making a statement about what's really important. And then it allows us to get out and recruit, you know, in the afternoon, because we have to drive quite a ways to get to heavy population bases.
Can you talk to us about the unbelievable power of the will?
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's anything that had to do with my will. I think God was looking after me all the way from, you know, my foolishness, falling asleep. I would like to think I had a hypoglycemic fit or something like that, but I probably just fell asleep, and it's so hard to believe when you do that at 5 in the afternoon. But I don't think it's so much my will as just all the people that supported me and the support I had and going in prayer and just letting God tell me what I was supposed to do, you know. And but I really can't say enough about my family and former players, all the coaches that were there, and then the people of Aberdeen and South Dakota they've just been wonderful and caring about us and looking out for us and that kind of thing.
We're talking to Coach Don Meyer. If you want to learn more, his website, www.coachmeyer.com. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with the legendary basketball coach, Coach Don Meyer. Coach, we recently celebrated Father's Day, and you've worked with thousands of young men. What do they want and need most from their dads?
Well, I think they, and I'm certainly not an expert, and I certainly haven't done a great job, but I love the three kids we have and our 8 grandkids. I think the biggest thing that's overlooked by parents is giving their children the blessing that they think they can be successful. They'll do anything they can to help them. But it's the child's responsibility, and they expect them to be responsible. And explain to them that the price of greatness is responsibility. And put them in a position where they have a chance to succeed, but you're not going to do everything for them.
A lot of children today are being raised by single moms. It's so tough for these moms to have this tough love. What would you tell single moms today?
Well, I think you made a good point about the tough love that they need. It's so hard for those moms because they're probably working one or two jobs, and depending on the number of kids, they can't spend as much time with them. I think the parents, if they're the single parent, whether it's a man or a woman, has to try to find somebody that can fill that other role. It doesn't have to be a marriage situation, but a situation where it could be a coach or a teacher, someone in a church, someone like that. And as I know, as a kid, I was always looking for people to look up to, and both those roles have to be filled, the masculine and the feminine, or it makes it really tough for a child.
You give motivational speeches all over the country, and one part of the speech is where you talk about the 5 vitamin C's every day, if you would.
Well, concentration would be the first one, and there's so many illustrations you can use with it, but you've got to really be focused in on what you're doing. You can't let your mind wander. Number 2, you've got to be able to exhibit courtesy to people, and there's so many stories of businesses that have lost everything because one person wasn't courteous. But just the idea that courtesy pays, and when you're discourteous, you pay. Then number 3 is the idea of, you know, not just courtesy, but communicating and talking with people, explaining things. I think that communication is so important on the basketball floor, in a marriage, in a family, in a relationship. It's just impossible to succeed without good communication. And then competing. You know, you've got to take all that and you've got to compete. You've got to strive to do your best. And you've got to do it every day. You've got to come after it every day. And then the 4th thing, or the 5th thing, it all leads to consistency, where day in and day out, you bring your lunch bucket, you do your job, people can count on you, you build up credibility, you can confront people because you have that consistency. It all fits together and all ends up in being just a person that people can count on every day to do your best.
In another part of the talk, you talk about the F words in Christianity.
Well, the F words would be faith, family, friends. We add stuff like fitness and finances and figure it out for yourself. But the basic first 3 are, you know, the faith in someone's, you know, you can't walk around and see nature and not think that there's something special. And, you know, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. I'll guarantee you that. And then you got to pick out which one of the 21 theories of evolution you want to get with. So my idea about faith is that there is a superior being that put all this together. And, it's the assurance of things not seen. And then family. I've talked a ton about it, but we all have a family. We've got our family that's our biological family, and then we've got our bigger family of people, and then we have friends. And, you know, you got to be a friend if you want to have friends. And I'm talking really close friends. We want to be friendly to everybody, but we can only really be close to a limited number, you know.
Another thing you say is, quote, make the main thing be the main thing.
For me, that means concentrating on the single most important thing. And in our program, that was being a team, having a team attitude every day. And when we were good at that, we were really good. And when we were great at it, we were greater. When we didn't do it as well, we weren't where we wanted to be. So I think you've got to really not be distracted. Keep everything focused on that, and you're going to get so much more done. It's like a laser has so much power because it's concentrated.
Recently, we lost a legend here in Michigan, Ernie Harwell. He was the announcer for baseball for 55 years, great man. And he said, quote, if you have the choice of being right or kind, always choose kind. Coach Meyer, talk to us about being nice.
Well, you know, I've always wanted to be right. you know, and that's why it's taken me a long time, and I'm still a long ways from getting where I need to be on that one. But I think we all have the tendency to think we have to be right, and our way is right. There's only one way to do things, and that's our way. And somebody's too bald if they're balder than me, and have too much hair if they have more hair than me, and that kind of thing. So there's a great saying by Sun Tzu, the weak must be cruel, the strong can be kind. And that's what I've found in my life, that the stronger a person is, the kinder they can be. And they can show love to people. And that doesn't mean that you overlook mistakes or that you don't correct people, but you correct it in the right way. And I just think all the great teachers have that element, you know, and they have a lot of elements, but that's one that's very strong in their teaching style.
Speaking about great teachers, what have you learned from the Jewish carpenter of Nazareth about being a coach?
Well, I just think that you're not going to win them all. He had just 12 guys he handpicked, and one of them didn't turn out so good. And then he had some of his leaders that sometimes lost perspective and what they were doing. So you're not always going to hit 100% with people, any one person all the time, or just everybody in your group. And you have to be able to deal with that and understand that's going to happen. I think also just the fact of that Jesus gave his life, literally and figuratively, to the problems at hand. And then I think the third and maybe one of the most important things is that he took time to be alone where he could refresh himself, he could build himself up and fill his cup up so he could go out and serve people.
Talk to us, Coach, if you will, about praying.
Well, there's a great book called Prayer, a Holy Occupation by Oswald Chambers, and I just finished it this morning. It's a tiny little book. I do one of them a day. Now I'm going to go back through it, reread it, and I'll read it the rest of my life, one a day, just because it's so wonderful. But I like to make a list of people to pray for, type it, and have it in my planning book, and then I've got another list of people, and I've got names in my weekly review file and monthly review file. I think sometimes God just puts names in front of you of people you need to be praying for and be concerned about, just like I think he opens books and the Bible to certain sections that you need to be concerned about that particular day. But prayer is... I think intercessory prayer, where you're praying for other people, is the best kind of prayer, because the more of that you do, the less you really need to spend time thinking about yourself.
We're talking to Coach Don Meyer, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything is possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Coach Don Meyer. 2 years ago, he lost his left leg in a car crash. And when they were operating on him, they determined that he had liver and intestine cancer. Coach, you've referred to these last 2 years as a blessing. Why?
Well, first of all, when I had the wreck, we found out I had cancer. And you know, I've got a form of carcinoid cancer, which is, I don't know much about it. I don't know how much people know about it, really, but it's a slow-growing cancer. I've had people email me that said you can have cancer your whole life, not even know it. They do an autopsy and find it all over, and you live a healthy life. And then you can have cancer, go in remission, come back, go in remission several times. So, you know, I think what it's done has made me just turn more things over to God and live each day more fully to the best of my ability, and to enjoy being around people more than I did before. And then getting out of coaching, it may have been God's way of getting me out of coaching, because I would have coached until I died, and I just physically can't do it anymore. I can't make the trips. I can't do the recruiting, and I would hurt our program here at Northern State if I kept being the head coach. So it was time for me to go. And I think I'm doing what I need to do right now. So it's funny sometimes how you get to the point where you should be and all the things that take you there.
The most used phrase in the Bible is, be not afraid. A lot of us today are afraid. We have doubts. We have worries. We're in a funk. What do you say to us?
Well, I think the first thing is that to have doubts is the first really big step toward faith, because it's going to make you look for things and study, and hopefully you'll look in the right areas and get the right answers. But you know, there is so much to be afraid of in our world. You know, it's much more complicated right now, life, than when I was a young boy. There's so many more temptations and distractions and things to get into you shouldn't be into out there, and it is a difficult time. But I think that's where you've got to have that inner peace that comes from knowing that you're in a position where there's always someone that's looking over you and that's close to you. I really enjoy the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, by Brother Lawrence. I think I've bought close to 1,500 copies to give away to people, and it just talks about how it's not so much the presence of God, it's us getting close to God, because he's always in our presence.
Coach Meyer, you're a teacher. What makes a great teacher?
Oh, I think, you know, different for everybody, but I really believe that, you know, you've got to love kids and you've got to love the game that you're teaching. And it really doesn't matter what you're teaching. It could be football, basketball, some sport. It could be a classroom subject. You could be farming with someone. We're all teachers. Everybody we're with, we're teaching. And I think having that attitude and understanding how important teaching is, I mean, that's the word that was used to refer to Jesus more than anything else, teacher.
What is success to you, Coach Meyer?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever really had success in a sense. It's a tough word to nail down. You know, you can always use wooden saying that you've done everything you can to be the best you can be. We can't do any more than that. I'd like to be the best at everything I do, but there's others that are better than you, so you just try to do the best you can and not think too much about it. Maybe that's what success is, doing what you do without worrying about whether or not you're successful, just doing the very best you can do.
You have been a hard-charging, high-energy, make-it-happen kind of person. Talk to us about learning to surrender to God. Let God be God.
Well, I think you can be a hard-charging whatever person and surrender to God. I think God creates us all in different ways, and we have different strengths. We have different personalities. We have different amounts of energy and drive. And I just think that, you know, don't worry about feeling you have to be docile or laid back exceptionally to be a child of God. God loves all his children, and he tries to get the best out of all of them. And I think it's just a matter of trying to draw near to him. That's the important thing. I mean, just like the prodigal son story, that kid came to his senses and came back, and he was near to his father. The older son wasn't as near. He was near in proximity, but his heart wasn't in the right place. And he'd been with his dad all the time. So it's everybody comes to God at different stages in their life, I think. That they're really close, and then they can fall away too. So it's just a daily effort on your part to try to do the things that would please your father.
Coach Meyer, is the American dream still alive?
Oh, I think it is. I think it's just that we've upped our level of what we think the dream is. You know, it's three cars in the garage. Instead of just having one car that can get from point A to point B like it was when I was a kid. I think our expectations are so high that it's just a lot of people don't think they've ever reached the dream, and we've got so much, it's ridiculous. We need to downscale a little bit, downsize, and get back to the basics of life. Like the one great writer said that my motto is low expectations, no disappointments. So the higher your expectations, the more disappointments you're going to have. So some of us, I think, expect everything. You know, we graduate from college and we're supposed to run a company. It doesn't usually work that way. So it takes a while. You've got to suck a lot of scum in life to get to a point where you've got some of the things that other people wish they had. Sometimes when you get those things, you find out they're really not that important anyway. Your relationships with people are more important than things.
You've just ended a glorious 38-year chapter. What's the next chapter of your life?
I'm just going to, try and do as many talks as I can and try to work with people, help our school and raising enrollment and securing funds for the university. Doing whatever our president, Jim Smith, wants me to do, I guess, would be a good way to give my job description. And Brenda Dreyer, who works sort of my commander-in-chief or coach, or whatever you want to call it. And then I just want to try and help as many people as I can, before it's time for me to leave this earth.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight, Coach Meyer?
Well, I think that you need to be a lifelong learner. You need to understand that there's so many things in life that you need to learn, but there's a lot of basic things that you know right away, and that's it. You've got to love God, you got to love your family, and you got to be true and faithful to your friends without doing bad things, because those kind of people aren't your friends if they have to do a bad thing for them. But, there's so many things about life that every person, sees it from a different deer stand, and that's the fun thing about life. You can't give just one set of advice for everybody. One size doesn't fit all. You sort of got to look at the situation and help each person out as best you can.
Coach Don Meyer, what a glorious example of a servant of God and the power of the will. Thanks very much for sharing your amazing and inspiring story. It was an honor to have you.
Oh, Jack, just let me say, your example is not the main thing. It's the only thing when it comes to influencing other people. So that's a good one to end on.
God bless. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall home.